Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You're in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Who is literally recording with his newborn in his lap today. Dude, huddle history. I am impressed. When I was a new dad, I could barely speak and walk at the same time. The idea that you're organizing a podcast here while being a brand new father is not lost on me, dude. So nicely played.
Thanks. I'm trying to set a good impression for him, right? This is going to be an intergenerational legacy here. So one day he'll take over the mantle of producing the Warriors Huddle and things will be seamless.
It's all coming together. Let him know that joining the three of us after way too long, the current beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, a man who attends every single Warriors practice, press conference, shoot around a game, and a guy who's getting ready to leave the Bay Area to go work on the East Coast, Mr. CJ Holmes. What's going on, CJ?
What's up, y'all? Let's do this one time for the one time.
Yeah, man, bittersweet. So give us the details. Where are you going? When do you leave? You know, I mean, what's your immediate future look like?
Yeah, everything came together a little quickly, but I'll be covering the Brooklyn Nets for the New York Daily News. But time during the Bay was special, man. But, a lot of things are lining up for, that let me know that this makes sense, at this point in my life. And I'm looking forward to it.
Personal and professional. Let's start professional. Professional, congratulations, man. That's awesome. Well deserved. They're lucky to have you. It's unfortunate that we're losing you, but we understand. Personal, fuck you, CJ. I can't stand this. We've got this great goddamn relationship, and I'll turn it into a question. Maxime, so how do you experience this, dude? I hear this. CJ's a friend, so this is great for him, and it's going to do nothing but help him. So I'm happy. I'm happy for him, and this is what the movie should make. But I'm also selfish, and I'm pissy, dude. I don't like that he's leaving. For you, you heard the news. What do you think, man? Is it just happiness, or do you have a little pissiness?
Oh, like I'm pretty pissed too, man. Because here's the thing, like we're fortunate to be able to have some relationships in the show, and they've all been pretty cool. But like hanging out with CJ was a lot of fun. So I was looking forward to many more of those, and well, we're gonna have to catch him when he comes on the road,
Did you hear baby Felix tell you to F yourself as well there? immediately
like, nah, fuck that.
Gave it to this little hate and see.
Let's turn it into a segment. All right. So if you're new to this show, one of my favorite things we do with the beat writer, CJ specifically, we call it the Off the Court Report. And the idea is that CJ gets to experience shit that we don't. He sees the players. He sees the setup. He sees all these things when they're not playing. But this one, we're going to turn that to you, CJ. All right, so I got three questions for you, all looking at your career as the beat writer for the Golden State Warriors. It is the best part, the worst part, and then a moment that sticks out. So start with the best part. What's the best part about being the beat writer for the Warriors?
Not necessarily covering the team, but the people who you compete against and cover with every day. There's a mix of like youth, maturity, color, analysis. Like everyone kind of just has their different niches. Everyone's great people. Everyone's just great people, good company. I feel like I've made some lifelong connections getting to cover the Warriors. People I, essentially went to war with every day at Chase Center,
Sure.
I appreciate those people a lot. Appreciate you guys. You guys are part of that too. It's a really good group out here, and that's probably what I'm going to miss the most.
Sure. Worst part.
Oh my God. When people called me out for that Jonathan Kuminga bit. Like that was insane. Like it's funny. The funniest part about it is I have a great relationship with JK. Even like yesterday when I'm leaving, like he's like, dang, you leaving? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I come to New York, we're going to link. you know, stuff like that. It's just so funny because, like, I know it's stuff that every writer deals with, but I had people call me a rat for months. And, like, I don't know why JK, you know, did what he did. Like, I know y'all remember what I'm talking about. You know, I wrote about JK. It wasn't even negative. Like, it was, this is how the kid feels, and this is how he's been, like, you know, trained to overcome this kind of stuff. And, you know, he quote tweets it and says, huh, well, go Warriors. Like, I don't know where that came from, but, like, me and JK, like, you know, keeping it between us, like, we had our conversation about it. Like, you know, I talked with the Warriors about it, and then, like, we moved on. But it's just so funny how, like, people wanted to sit here and call me a rat reporter and all this stuff. Like I don't lean heavily on my credibility. Like, I don't care about that kind of stuff. Like, I'm just going to put BS out here. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy to me.
Of course.
You know, that was definitely one of the, when we think about, like, the worst things, that's definitely what came to mind, because I felt like, you know, my reputation got trashed a little bit to no fault of my own. Like, that was crazy. Like, I know, like, you know, fans are going to be fans and shouldn't let it get to me, but that like, got to me, because it's like, y'all going to question my credibility? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's wild.
Let's make this a Venn diagram. We literally know that your credibility is fine, because you've got a brand new job, senior NBA writer, and that is, you know, after you had to go through the controversy. So bullshit, but it's behind you, which leads to that last part, a moment that sticks out. Something that's happened over these last couple of years while covering this team that you think will stick with you, you know, going forward here.
Man, this might be a little obvious, but, you know, Steph Curry walked into the media room in Boston, that cigar and that hat. And that finals MVP trophy, dropped that shit on the table, sat back and looked at us like, what's up? Like, you know, getting to walk on this beat and essentially, you know, I covered, like, the final 22, I think after All-Stars, like, what, 22 games left after All-Star? So, or something like that, right? Regular season. So I covered the final 22 games after the All-Star break. And an entire postseason run, which adds up to basically another half season. You know, I don't know how many games that is total, but it's like basically like 20, 30 more games, which kind of felt like a full season to me, even though it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? It felt like a full season, but to be able to have, like, no, like, NBA beat writing experience to, you know, although I, you know, I've worked in sports, covered college, NFL, you know, I cover a lot of things, but to walk onto a beat, first time covering the NBA. Because keep in mind, like, it was hard. I was struggling to get into the door covering the NBA specifically before I got this job. So it's like, not only do you get a job covering one of the most, if not the most notable basketball team on the planet, like, you get to watch them win a championship your first couple of months on the job. And to me, that was incredible. Getting the ride on the float with Gary and James Wiseman. You know, during parade day, like, that's the type of stuff that will, like, I will never forget that whole thing from Curry dropping to his knees and TD Garden to, you know, everybody coming in the room, you know, to seeing the look on Wiggins's face, you know, knowing that he would just won his first championship, to, you know, the plane ride home, to the parade that followed. Like, it was just – all that was insane. And, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get to cover, you know, another NBA championship. You know, we'll see where my career takes me. But, you know, I'll always be thankful that I got that one, because that's what you dream about in this industry. That's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? Getting the opportunity to see those kind of things. You know, there's guys like Mark Spears who have covered, like, 27 NBA final series. But that was my first. And, you know, that meant a lot to me.
Hey, you could take it a step further, man. That moment that you began with, Steph coming in with the finals MVP trophy, sitting back, you know, wearing the hat, that's going to be featured in documentaries, you know, countless documentaries going forward. He is a top 10 player conservatively of all time. And to have seen not only him win a championship, but to have seen a moment that will help define the career that we're going to see a ton of, you know, that there have been a lot of NBA championships over history. That moment only happened once. And for you to have been there is, you know, is pretty fucking impressive. But I'll also use another thing you said to push us into our next category. And it's you describing that last championship that helps me really underline how different things are currently. Because the thing that I remember from that championship was Wiggins and Jordan Poole looking at each other saying, "You're going to get the bag. You're going to get the bag." You are so far from that today. That it's
the to be fair, they both got the bag.
They both got the bag. They both got to the be bag. Fair. At that moment, we were all celebrating, like, look at this young core. It's all going to come together. Today, things may or may not have changed, which leads to the big segment today. All right. And the segment is this. I'm going to call it Sound the Alarm. I'm going to give you three problems the Warriors are currently going through. And then I want you to assign a DEFCON level to it. Yeah. So DEFCON shit I know from movies. I know it's real, but the only experience I've ever had with the movies. And I learned today, CJ, this is very confusing to me, but there are five levels of DEFCON readiness, and one is the worst. That seems counterintuitive, but it is what it is. Right? So I'm going to give you a problem. You assign a number to it, 1 through 5. But here's what I'm assigning to those numbers. DEFCON 5. So that's the least amount of worry. DEFCON 5 stands for this. They've played less than 20 games. The only reason to talk about this problem now is to create content. Nothing to see here. All right. DEFCON 4. It's too early to be worried. Way too early. But I can see why you're asking about the problem. DEFCON 3. This is a problem. This is a problem that needs to be fixed. But the Warriors can do it. DEFCON 2. This is a problem. And I'm not sure the Warriors can fix this. DEFCON 1. This is a death nail. We are fucked. This problem is not going away, and there's nothing we can do. All right, so there's our rubric. Here's our problems. Problem number one, Wiggins' early season struggles, okay? Before you give me a number, any idea why? Like, what's happening? Is there any reporting from the team or, like, any indication from anyone why the first few weeks of the season here haven't gone the way we all wanted it to?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been off. He's been really off. I mean, like, in the locker rooms, like, he seems normal and everything seems fine. Like, I don't know if he still has things going off the court or distracting him a bit. And at the same time, like, sometimes people get off to slow starts. Like, it's only been 12 games. But in terms of, you know, I'd say DEFCON 3. Yeah. Like, it is an issue because, you know, you didn't expect Wiggins to get off to a slow start like this, but considering everything that happened last year, I mean, like, can you really be surprised, right?
Yes.
Yes. But there's a lot of basketball. There's so much basketball left. And I would say that I think Andrew Wiggins has a better chance of snapping out of it because of the quality of the shots that he can create for himself. You know, the cuttings, like the athleticism. I think I can see him snapping out of it before a Klay Thompson, who is pretty much relying on that three ball. So I think that, like, Andrew can create easy buckets in different ways.
Yep.
But it's definitely it's concerning. It's not time to panic. Like, if this is still, like, the kind of, like, production Andrew is giving by, like, early February, and he's still, like, struggling like this, I mean, at that point, it's going to be time to panic. And at that point, you might have to make some decisions, you know, but
level up and maybe seek a trade. But before I couldn't agree with you more.
We're not there yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not there. I'm sorry. They're not there yet. And they're not there yet.
It's so. Why DEFCON 3 works so well. I mean, it's just like you said, it's a problem. Well, let's not pretend it's a problem because they need him in order for this team to go, hopefully, where we want him to go. But of the things that could have happened, you know, that, like, it's some off-court issue or some residual from the rib shit versus he got space jammed, you know, like, he's just lost all of his skill set and it's no longer happening. I've got to believe they can fix it. So I'm with you. DEFCON 3. But I'd be so much easier if we knew what, you know, like, what the hell was happening here. It feels, I don't know, it feels like a mystery. And I'm getting a little worried about it. But you've already talked about the second problem. Discuss it with me. Klay. So problem number two, Klay Thompson's early struggles. Give me a DEFCON level, man. What are you thinking?
I mean, I gotta be fair though. Like, I gotta say DEFCON 3 too, because like I just said, I can make the same argument for Wiggins. Like, there's a lot of basketball left. And unlike Wiggins, Klay Thompson is famous for slow starts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's famous for slow starts. But 1-for-10 last night, like, I mean, you got Pajemski is, like, outscoring both of them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, more – you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it. And this whole, like, second, third option thing behind Steph is real. Like, this is, like – this Steph have is scoring this many points this season out of necessity.
Right.
He's doing it because he has to. Because if he does it, like, this team is in trouble, man. Like, because, like, he's not – there's no scoring help from anywhere on the roster right now. You know, it's unfortunate that Clay and Wiggs have to be in a slump at the same time, but that's what's happening right now. Right. It's crazy, but that's what's happening right now. But, you know, but like I said, Clay is famous for these slow starts, and it's we've only had 12 games, right? And, you know, we've seen him shoot like 30%. Through five games, and then we've seen him shoot like 46% or 45% through five games. So, you know, that's the thing. Like, both these guys can snap out of it in a blink, you know. So you don't want to freak out too much. You don't want to overanalyze it. But, like, 1-for-10 last night, Clay? Like, it's getting rough out here. It's getting rough out here.
I will agree.
And on top of that, you're not – he's not guarding either. No. He's not guarding. So it's like both of them are – They're out there playing by merit because they have no choice. But like both of them are like borderline unplayable right now, borderline. But they don't have any other options. You need Wiggins' like size and length out there. You need his defense. Clay, I mean, you need his shooting, but he's not giving that. He's not guarding either. So, but if it's not them, where are you gonna go? Right? You're not gonna start a rookie. You know, you're not gonna start a rookie guard right now. You're not gonna You know, you just can't do that. So it's like Steve's hands are tied because, like, he owes these legacy rotation players, you know, their fair shot to turn this thing around. But, I mean, they're at the point now where, like, what's the record? 6-7?
Yep.
After a 6-2 start.
Right.
I mean, they better pray to God Curry's back on Saturday against OKC. But, man, you're without Draymond for five games. That's going to hurt you defensively. They're going to be in a position soon where they might have to be fighting an uphill battle with this old roster, putting all this pressure on Steph, and he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt really bad at this rate. Like, he's been falling a lot early in the season, like getting to the rack, having to do all this stuff. Like, the addition of Chris Paul is supposed to help him, like, take care of his, like, body more, you know, like, do better in the non-Steph minutes. But it's the starters who aren't supporting Steph this year, not the bench. The bench is doing their job. Like, they might have gotten outscored for the first time last night. I don't remember. Can I pull that up? Or you guys got that? Those numbers?
I don't have it, but to be – even if you did, the rotations are
all – I can believe it. Like, you know, the bench has been doing their job. Like, it's been the starters. And, you know, you gave Kevon Looney a pass because you never – the Warriors have never relied on Kevon Looney to score. He's there to do the other stuff, screen, guard, rebound. Draymond, his offense is historically hit or miss, right? Like, you know, it's either everybody gangster game or, you know, it's a quieter kind of all around kind of deal.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We identified before the season started, you know, the things that needed to happen for the Warriors to have a real shot. That list begins and ends with Clay and Wiggins. You can count on Steph's fucking brilliance, you know? I mean, and he's providing it. But he's going to need help. Of course he is. And you hit the things that make me worried about Clay. So, like Wiggins, there's no objective reasons about why he's not playing well. The thing that worries me about Clay is there's a couple, you know, he's dealing with these injuries or he is coming off of two major injuries. And then Podzinski, it comes into play here because watching Pods play with no weight on his shoulders at all. You know, it's a guy who just believes in himself and is just playing and enjoying himself. That used to be Clay's style. You could count on Clay firing up with not a fucking care in the world. And that's not true anymore. I can feel his weight playing now, you know, and every missed shot, it feels like another brick's being put between his shoulder blades. And so there's reasons to worry, but there's a lot of objective evidence, a lot of times in the past where he's snapped out of this. So it's a DEFCON 3, you know, it's a problem, but I think they can fix it. Maxime, we haven't got a level from you yet. Klay Thompson, DEFCON 1 through 5. What do you put it at?
Yeah, I'm at a 2. I agree with CJ that, you know, maybe 3 or 4 for Wiggins, because to your point, Bram, there's nothing specifically that you can point to other than things like, oh, well, Wiggins didn't have a full offseason, and, you know, and there was that personal stuff at the end of last season. I'm not concerned there, right? Those are like logical things that would lead to a slow start. Klay's things, the logical things that lead to a slow start, are logical things that lead to the tail end of a career. You know, people were talking over the past couple of years about, oh, when's LeBron finally going to show his age? And like, you know, that conversation happened really fast with Klay, and it felt like a cliff. And what worries me is that the same sort of thing that allowed him to play so free and breezy is the same type of thing that will actually end up causing him so much mental distress that as teams realize that he's not shooting well, they may sag off of him more. And then that might get in his head even more. He might be a compounding problem, you know, because the way that he was forcing shots last season stressed the shit out of me. He stopped doing that a little bit, but if his shot isn't falling off the catch and shoot, it's a really bad situation.
That's what I'm saying. That's another thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, like, I think Steve, now, granted, Steve's around Klay every day. Obviously, he's been coaching him for, what, 12 years now, and he's going to know these things, but like he said, it's one thing I didn't agree with. He was like, Klay's been pressing this season. I haven't seen that. Like you said, Klay's not like he's turning the ball over like at a pretty high rate, but like he's not. I don't see a lot of those. Like, I think he's turning it over for the sake of trying to create something.
Yeah,
but like he's not like forcing up bad shots. I feel like he's getting quality looks this year. They're just not falling.
Yeah. Right.
Like I don't agree that the fact that, oh, he's pressing. I don't agree with that. He's just not hitting shots, you know?
And if you were right, that's why, you know, they can fix it. I mean, that's 3, right? It's a problem, but there's a reason why there's some.
I think Klay's been a little more patient this year compared to last year. Like, that's what I've seen. I don't think he's just missing shots, man.
I think we got to add this too. And it's more of an overarching thing on the team at large, not necessarily just Klay. And it's a stupid analogy, but I'll use it. You get into really expensive machinery like a Rolex or a Corvette or something. If you take out one thing, one small, you know, cog, the whole fucking machine will stop working. We got used to the Warriors. They were so dominant and so good. You could take off these little cogs and it didn't matter. Somebody got hurt, they'd be fine. The opposing team shot over 60%. They could get past it. That's not true for us anymore. The margin's much thinner. And so you start changing who's out there. You have a suspension. You have a team shoot more than 60% from the field. You have something change within the overall mechanism, and everything looks broken. And so, you know, right now we are analyzing these problems while the great majority, you know, Steph's out. Draymond is suspended. The opposing role players are shooting like 60% against us. These are all things that might not continue, and you actually bring the Warriors back as a whole, and everything might look the way it should, the way it did, for example, boys, over the first 8 games. You know, we were world beaters. When they lost that game to Denver, everyone was kind of saying, oh, here's a preview of the Western Conference Finals. You know, and the major thing that's changed since then is Steph got taken out, and we've got ejections, so it might, or suspensions. It might just be that this team isn't whole, you know, and they need to be in order to look good.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that a team not being whole is less of an issue if the dudes on the team that are running in the starting lineup aren't on the older side. As in, there's not reasons to think that this team is going to be whole when there's no more suspensions. I'm expecting Steph to miss time like he has here. I'm expecting Chris Paul to miss time. Draymond, Klay, you know, these dudes are not, you know, they're in their 30s. And that's a concern. So we need all the games that we can get, because it's not going to be an 82-game season for our whole squad.
That's why Chris Paul says it's important to pile up wins while you can. And they're not doing that right now.
No,
they were. But they're not doing that right now, because like those injuries are gonna come, like the suspensions, like all of a sudden it's gonna come with this team, and that's why Chris Paul stressed the importance of piling up wins. And it's early, right? 12, 13 games, whatever. But you know, The same way you can pile up wins, you can pile up L's too, and the Warriors don't want to be put in a situation where they're forced to, you know, fight this uphill battle with an older roster, with a potentially injured roster, you know, with the unpredictability of Draymond. And, like, you know, they don't want that.
Perfect transition. Last question, last DEFCON. It has to do with Draymond, right? Yeah. So this is the second season in a row where Draymond has cost himself his presence for the team. Last year we lost him, you know, I mean, he played, but as he explained to us, he couldn't play the way that he really wanted to because of the JP shit. This year he's literally not on the court because of the decision he made with Gobert, right? So the DEFCON level of how the team is dealing with Draymond's antics, you know, is it one in that nothing, they know who the hell he is and they actually like that he had Clay's back, or is it five, you know, that he's made yet another decision, he's not on the floor, we're now without him for 5 years, and as you put it, this is a time now where we should be stacking wins, not fucking
5 years suspension. 5 years suspension.
I thought that the 5 years was a little bit too long. You know, I don't know what
this is hilarious. So somebody sent me this the other day, and like I thought it was like the actual like NBA. Like I read it, like I didn't read it. Like I just like it, long story short, it's like you'll see that. Like,
the league has sentenced Draymond Green to death, which is a little bit worse than the 5 years I just kicked him out of the league. But the five games he has. I mean, hopefully that long question made sense. What do you put it at? Draymond's relationship with the team. What DEFCON level do you place it at?
DEFCON 5. I mean, it's just, this is what happens. This is
one. DEFCON 1, that you're saying. DEFCON 5 means there's a giant problem. Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah. Other way.
Why did I set it up that way? When there's an earthquake, if it's a 1.0 earthquake, you're like, that's nothing. Like, why the hell would they have it be low? Okay, go ahead. DEFCON
5. This is who he's been. It is what it is. Like, you gotta. The same fiery passion. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell Draymond how to be Draymond Green. You know what I'm saying? I don't like how a lot of folks are saying, oh, like, he shouldn't do this, he shouldn't do that. Like, that same fiery intensity that gets him in trouble, it's the same shit that's helped this franchise win four championships. You know what I'm saying? It's give and take with it. The take sucks sometimes, as it did, you know, on Tuesday night at Chase Center, but it is what it is. I don't think people look at him any differently. I think Steve and the front office are a little tired of playing damage control. I mean, did anyone else notice Steve's complete shift in tone on the perspective of what happened? You know, after the game, you know, everyone's, the adrenaline's still high. Oh, like, you know, he was defending, you know, Rudy, you know, he sprinted in because, like, you know, he was defending Clay. And then all of a sudden today, it's like, I mean, yesterday, last night, it's like, it's deserved. He went too far. Like, to me, that sounds like somebody like from the league. Like, I could be wrong. Like, just like talk to Steve and was just like, look, like, this is, if you watch this on camera, you're going to see that this is a bad look. Yeah. And like, you need to like get ahead of this. It's going to be a bad look for your, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then all of a sudden it's time to throw Draymond under the bus publicly. Right. But at the same time, like, I think this teammate's like having somebody that's about that action at the end of the day. Like, everybody, you need at least one dude on your team that's about that action. Of course. Does Draymond take a little too far? Yeah, but, like, they're not going to, like, I mean, they knew all of this before they signed him to a four-year extension.
Right. That's exactly right. And the reason they knew it is because it was this skill set that helped them win four championships.
You know? I mean, he punched Jordan Poole in the face. They got a 4 year, $100 million deal. That's like me walking into my boss, I mean, to my office, like throwing hands at my boss or like throwing hands at a coworker in the middle of the Chronicle office and then getting like a 20K raise or something. Like, it's, you know,
what fucking internal fire it requires to successfully guard the five spot at his size? No. The kind of F you, I will do anything the hell that's necessary, like to be able to channel that and go forward. This is, of course they knew it too. This is a junkyard dog that occasionally bites people. It's the thing that makes him valuable also makes him a liability occasionally. And they knew that when they signed the contract. If I order spicy food, I'm not surprised that I get fucking heartache. You know, like it's part of the experience. DEFCON 1, I completely fucking, no, DEFCON 5, fuck this system. I knew I should have.
And here's the thing. Like coming off of these kind of things, like Draymond's going to be on his best behavior for a while and we won't even be talking about it a couple months from now. And, you know, the stomp has almost faded out of the back of our mind. The punches, I mean, now granted, after the choke, are we calling this the choke?
No, I'm calling it the defense.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy that in like my like, it's weird because technically I've been here for almost 2 years, but I've touched three different seasons. You know, I touched the championship season. I touched all of last season. I touched the beginning of this season, right? I got, you know, but in my time here, we've had the stomp, the punch, and I guess the choke.
Well, and dude, the suspension when he hit LeBron in the balls. You know, it's another giant portion of his legacy. I mean, it's another go-to for the hit reel. See,
I don't disagree with all of you guys in principle, but I am a little bit more concerned because, and CJ, you have the insight into what's going on, you know, inside the Warriors organization. And it's great to know that, because I think your perspective is probably a little bit of a window into what's happening internally. And that's the most important thing. But I think the rest of the league is starting to give up a little bit. And I mean, like Anthony Edwards kind of just punked Draymond, was like, oh, you want to talk shit? I'll just play better than you. Right? Like he kind of had Draymond spinning. It's like, sure. Yeah. The kind of fire it took to guard fives in 2016. I don't know that that's there anymore in the same way. And that's what has me concerned because now the league is also starting to turn on. They're like, oh yeah, he was DPOY, but like now he's maybe a little bit washed. And then these antics kind of like, they become more of the dominant narrative of who he is. And in the same way, I think that can start to get into his head. He starts to freak out even more. And then we end up with somebody that's like the old dog that, you know, is still biting, but can't really actually break skin.
Dude, I'll concede something right now. If Dre, Steph, or Clay have moved on an age where they can contribute the way that we need them to contribute, then we are fucked. Of course. I mean, of course, you know, that's the concern on an old team. I don't think we're there yet. And I think you can look to the 6-2 start, hopefully to underline that, but of course you're right. And if he isn't a DPOY level talent, is it worth having antics constantly? No, of course not. It's got to be a trade-off. If it's not a trade-off, then it's not worth it at all. You know, but I still think he's capable of the trade-off. CJ, we kept you longer. I just don't want your watch to end, you know, so I'm just kind of holding on to the last moment here. But we appreciate you. You have been phenomenal. We're not out of your life. We still play Brooklyn, so we'll still be having you on. But for people who are going to look for your work in the future, where do they go?
Well, you guys can find my work at the New York Daily News, I guess online and in print. Still figuring all that out, I guess. and, you know, Twitter, Instagram, X, Instagram, CJ Holmes 22. And retweets, please, even though you guys are Warriors fans. But if you love me as a person.
Don't you do that. You bastard.
Retweets, not likes. And, you know, I want to just take this opportunity also to thank you guys for bringing me on and, you know, not only helping me get exposure, but, you know, giving me some friends. You know, I could talk to, you know, talking to y'all. I feel like I'm just like sitting in the barbershop just chatting, debating hoops. So it feels like with y'all sometimes. And I want to let y'all know that I appreciate y'all a lot. You know, to all the Warriors fans that, you know, took time to read my stories and subscribe and support me in that way. Thank you so much. And I plan on using everything I learned here and taking it over to Brooklyn and, you know, hopefully continue to make strides in my professional career. And, you know, maybe one day, you know, life will bring me back to the Bay Area. But, you know, for now, my watch is ended.
You will be missed, but not forgotten, man. You made an impact. We will continue to think of you. And like I said, we'll have you back on. So this is not goodbye. It's just a pissy transition from me. With that in mind, go Warriors. And hopefully we'll see you guys real soon.
Good, good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.